righty. Yeah. Well, the important news is we've survived 2021.
Yes.
Right? Mm. Which means we're back. We're back for episode 5 of the Vibecast, a podcast celebrating the fun, the music, the fans, and most importantly, the musicians of the Philadelphia band Chico's Vibe. I'm John Parkinson. I'm here with producer Matt Kelly. And Matt, this podcast, as we noted, is being released on New Year's Eve 2021. And going way back, it was Julius Caesar, actually. I did some research for this podcast, who proposed the calendar where the new year begins on January 1, so it's the Julian calendar. And somehow I think that's fitting for today's podcast, because while New York City for New Year's Eve, they have the tradition of dropping the ball, it's not New Year's Eve in Delco without these guys in front of us, the emperors of the Delco New Year's Eve Bacchanalia.
Dropping our balls right
That's
now.
Right. Hey, dropping our balls for all of Delco.
I want to be Caesar.
You Gabby can be Caesar.
Gabby could be Augustus. Ed could be Nero.
Nero?
That's right. Julius Caesar, Dennis Cicchino. Wait, who's Gab? Augustus Caesar.
Yeah.
John Gephardt and Nero. Ed Mount. Welcome,
you don't
gentlemen.
You could be Nero, Ed. You could be Caligula.
Yes, go with Caligula. There was a
Nero was also a rogue Romulan in the reboot of Star Trek.
Oh wow!
So all right, I'll stop.
I don't think it's the same one. But anyway, on today's podcast, to give a little prep to our audience for what's coming, we're going to reflect a little bit on 2021 and you know, think about heading into the new year. What's ahead of us? We have a special guest, Chico's Vibe trumpet player Tony DeSantis. As soon as we work out his technological issues, we'll be bringing Tony on board. We're going to do another segment of Chico's Vibe, the Netflix series, where we'll talk about a memorable gig that will become an episode of our soon-to-be hit Netflix show. Then we'll do a song from the set list, which we're going to ask Tony to explain himself a little bit as part of that song for the set list.
Good.
Timing. So here we are, New Year's Eve, 2021. From the band's perspective, I think the best thing about 2021 was that it was not 2020.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. It was still an interesting and challenging year. And Ed and Gabe, you know, when did we kick in 2021? It wasn't really till
April.
April, yeah.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of fun and interesting gigs, but it was a weird dynamic for a lot of the year.
The first one was an outdoor.
It was an outdoor wedding.
Yeah, I'm blanking on
under
what the place
a tent.
Was.
It was like Lindenwold Country Club.
Yes.
It was out in Newtown Square area. Yeah.
Anthony Wayne House, isn't that?
Across from Waynesboro Country Club.
Waynesboro Country Club, yeah.
And he's never home.
He's not.
No.
I always ask for him. I feel bad. I'm using his bathroom, eating his food.
Like, I heard you like in the corridor said, Tony!
Tony! Exactly. Maybe that's where I went wrong.
Tony Wayne.
I just said, Anthony. Anthony Wayne.
But yeah. Anyway,
we did wind up having some, I think, a memorable year, some memorable gigs, right? I mean,
you know, it was really cool. Like last 2020, what do we have? Like 38 weddings? We played two or three? Something like that.
Yeah, I think we ended up playing like 12 total jobs.
I think
the whole
so, because I did my taxes. It was the easiest year.
We played zero gigs at the Shore, and we were booked almost every weekend, sometimes twice.
Yeah.
And then 2021 comes along, and we're playing mostly all the gigs that got postponed.
Right. Yep.
Plus all the other stuff that we booked during that time of COVID.
Right.
So we were getting like banged. It was a
it just
banner
hit.
Year.
Yeah.
Like especially May, it just like all of a sudden we were working all the time, and it was like, I don't like this.
It was a complete culture change.
I don't like this. I want to go home.
And then it was definitely strange to be around people again.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
And then we were down the Shore a lot, which was even stranger because the Shore was as if there was no global pandemic.
The Bonner,
it didn't exist.
The Bonner reunion.
That was one of my memorable gigs. The Bonner Prendy reunion was. Yeah.
I mean, it was amazing, but I was like, this is the most people I've seen, I think, in a year and a half.
Yep.
In one place. You
all
know?
Three of us have to have had COVID. We have to have.
Somewhere along the line.
At some point. I'm sure.
It's safe to say we did our last Keenan's. That was a very memorable game.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. On Labor Day weekend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dennis, you had mentioned like a favorite wedding memory from 2021?
Oh, I loved it. It was the Stefanski wedding at the Windrift.
Yes.
In the meantime, I mean, before I even got there, you know, I'm feeding right into Gebby's line for me. Like, I'm going to get there with like 10 minutes before we start. And I'm like flying down.
We might want to let our listeners know that the more wisdom you get in the wedding gig, the later you arrive at gigs.
Yeah, I think I teed off on that one or two podcasts to go.
Yes.
You know, I don't need like a wedding coordinator telling me what to do. We've been doing it longer than them, longer than any wedding coordinator. We've been doing weddings. We know how to do it. Don't bother me.
We just don't say that here at Chica's Vibe. We do not condone this.
Parking, oh, sending me texts. Dennis, like, a lady really wants to talk to
me. She kept coming up to me. Like, I need to speak with Dennis. So I text you. She needs to speak with you. And you text me back.
I said, finally, I said, tell her to call me.
Which was really going to settle her down. Oh, I'm on the Garden State Parkway.
You know, for that instance, we should have a red phone that we can hand to the coordinator. It's just a direct line.
Yes, like,
old school Commissioner Gordon, like big red phone on a plate. Tony brings it over on a plate, you know?
But he has to have an Irish accent.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Oh, my God.
Bobby Jeebers.
I got him on the line for you.
The wedding itself was a really good wedding. We knew lots and lots of people there. At the end of the night, Matt might have been on the gig.
He was.
And Rick Anthony was on that too.
Because, yeah, we're finished. We do silly love songs. Matt breaks into the Eagles fight song like he always does. And they all got pissed off because Stefanski is the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. And they're coming over mad at me. I didn't do it.
Matt gets you in trouble.
It's right.
Age-old tale. You know? Yeah,
it's the age-old tale.
It is age-old tale.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. The Ur House. This was our first year to do the Ur House, right?
Yes.
That might become a...
Yeah, last year, 2020, they all got wiped out.
Yeah.
So that might be a regular Chico's Vibe.
Yeah.
During the summer, yeah.
Talking about that Bonner gig that we played, yes. Bonner Prendy.
Yeah.
It was an all-year reunion.
All-year reunion. Yes. Yeah.
We were on the sand, remember?
Yes.
There's like one or two photos of me from that day, and I look at my worst possible self. I look like something that's about to be slaughtered at like a 4-H fair. I look fat. I'm totally red, covered in sweat. And I'm like, who's that old guy? And I'm like, that's me. That's why the website, you know, I love it because it's got pictures of me from like 2001.
Right.
Yes.
But they're recent, you know. Right.
We're on the sand. I'm drinking. Everybody's drinking. So I'm like, no, I don't even give a shit if I'm three steps away from the key of the song. But so we're in there, and you get all these, like, you know, these Catholic kids are all dressed up. They got their green on, and the girls are all, like, looking good in their summer outfits. Then all of a sudden, Bobby Sava and Stevie Williams walk in, and they're both bikers. They come, and they stand right in the middle of all the Catholic Bonner girls and guys dressed in their pastel colors, and here's these, like, two dour-looking dudes. And I'm just like, what are you guys doing here? You look so out of place. Look around you. Waiting for me to say, that's right, folks. This show, like all Chico's Vibe shows, brought to you by Sava Brothers Masonry Contractors. They're not the cheapest. And John always chimes in. That's because they're the best. And I think they left after that. I was like, thank God.
One thing I remember, you and I we had had a lot to drink. And part of it was because the people in front of us. But it was the one time, you know, in Africa, we always count. I bless the rain down in Africa.
Right.
Because there's five of them. And it, like, it kills both of us.
Right.
But we lost count. And it's the only time Brian Farr has ever gotten mad at me, because we just went one more and we kept singing the song and didn't stop. And he's like, what the hell?
You know, I enjoy drinking more and more on our gigs. The older I get, the less I can hear, the more I want to drink. That's how it works.
Well, moving along.
Yes, yeah. Hey, well, 2021, this Chico Huff, this is his last full year with the band. And I just want to add, you know.
Wait a minute.
Isn't he? No?
Yeah.
Get out. We don't have him anymore.
Well, in month of January and the month of February.
Oh, good. It's not complete. Okay, yeah. I didn't know that. I just wanted to do a Chico Huff tribute because he's so good. We're going to miss him.
Shit, he's a dead man. I'm not letting him play with anybody else.
Okay. So that was 2021.
Yeah.
We're going to continue the podcast, right?
Yes.
I'm still glad we're doing what we do, though.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, you know? Absolutely.
It's still fun.
I'm still happy it's in my life.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that was one thing about 2020. It gave me an appreciation for how much to enjoy what we do.
Oh, same. Absolutely.
You know, there are still times.
They get tested.
I'm even exponentially happier because I quit all the small stuff.
Well, there's a lot of people that are sad about that, so we don't want to harp on that too much. Well, but
yeah, really, there are people who are traumatized.
I don't care about them.
Phones are lighting up, guys. Phones are lighting up. Oh man, the blinking.
I think the podcast just ended.
I mean, it got to the point where I didn't even want to carry my guitar in anymore. I mean, I'm bringing a PA, set it up, tear it down for years.
We just went to negative listeners, I think.
But it gives more energy for Chico's vibe.
Right.
We need to lighten up this podcast, I guess. So can we... We're going to test the limits of Tony's technology. And I'm happy to announce our first guest. Oh, we're dialing.
What are you on, dial up?
Yes! We got him, right?
You've got mail.
I'm here.
He is Tony. Here. So I'm happy to announce.
Hey, Big T.
Fresh off of double secret probation.
He's got his lawyer with him.
Tony's I will call him a Havertown musical legend, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah. Absolutely.
Just did that little spread in the paper.
And even plugged Chico's vibe, which I think.
Yeah, one sentence.
Yeah.
Four words. I play in Chico's vibe. Yeah, five words.
But we were in it. Yeah. So, I mean, that's something.
Tony, when we have guests on the
God, he had a heart attack. Are you on the floor? Click twice if you're in danger. Push five if you're in danger.
Tony, you're still there.
Yeah.
Do you wish you weren't? But Tony, what we like to do for our podcast guests is ask them to talk about. So you've been playing music. You've been playing music professionally for a very long time. But let's go back. When did you first start playing trumpet? Like, what got you started?
Oh, I was actually like 6 or 7 years old.
Excellent.
My cousin started me on trumpet. I have to find a picture, but I have a picture of me at 7 where the trumpet was bigger than my torso. Yes, I have to get a picture of it and send it to you guys. But yeah, my cousin was in the army, played trumpet on, and so my dad decided to start me on trumpet.
That's excellent. Okay, and you've been playing consistently ever since, right?
Not consistently, but I've been playing. Yes.
Were there other instruments that you played growing up, or
piano a little bit?
When you went to college, were you still playing? Because I know for a while you had a dual career, right? Where you're a musician, and I think you worked at Vanguard. So,
well, let's step back. So yeah. when I was in high school, I excelled in music, and I think at the time remember when we were in school, there was no ADD or any kind of reading thing. And I did really bad in school, except for music. And so back then, the guidance counselor used to tell everybody, like, if you want to go for music, you know, you shouldn't go for music because it's not a good career. You should go for something else.
Yeah.
And I was the only guy. The guidance counselor saw my grades. He says, I think you should go for music. And at the time, I was a good kid. My mom died at 15, so I kind of was like, I wasn't into school. I wasn't into school. Right. And we had someone who was in the band who would pull our cut slips. So in my senior year, I cut 90 days of school.
Oh, my God.
Did the year even count?
I had to go to summer school for English so I get my diploma, but I had already got accepted to University of Arts.
Oh, excellent. Oh. Okay.
So even there, even in college, even though I excelled in like performance, again, I wasn't, I tried to do my English stuff, and I had ADD, obviously, and I almost flunked out of college too.
Oh, geez.
But they let me play because I was a good jazz player.
Cool.
And they wanted me to play with the jazz band for like the concerts. So, but I finally graduated. I did get my degree, but
your jazz talents bailed you out.
And you know what? You're right, Chico. The thing was, back then, like the kids coming to college now are phenomenal. Back then, I could play like a blues, and I was considered really good. So everybody else was pretty. No, seriously, everybody was pretty mediocre. So,
right.
In that regards, I was fortunate. But I went to school, I got my degree, and then my father died when I was 19. So I kind of decided to get a full time job because I needed to get benefits and stuff.
Yeah.
So I got a job at Vanguard Investments, and it was one of the best moves I ever made because it gave me security, and I still practice and I still play gigs. So that's why I had the double degree, the two careers.
Nice.
This amazes me. You're telling us how you're going to flunk out of Haverford. You're going to flunk out of UArts.
Yes, I did.
You had ADD. You couldn't do English, this and that. But you excelled at Vanguard.
Yeah.
Didn't you have to use some like elementary skills of math and stuff like that at Vanguard?
A bunch of people went broke in the beginning.
Remember the market crash of 87?
That was the learning curve.
I know. I started in 89.
Oh, okay.
He brought him back.
Yes.
But you know what? The reason why I excelled is because I started out in data entry, and I didn't mind doing the menial work.
Right.
I just cared about having my benefits and playing music.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's part of the reason why I did well is because I never really wanted. I wanted to work there, but I didn't want to like have a career move or like become a supervisor or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
Gotcha.
So I was one of I didn't mind being a lackey. I was the type, I told me what to do and I'll do it and I'll do a good job. Like that's why I excel because I didn't, because of my, with the balance, with doing the music, like doing simple work in the beginning at Vanguard and then doing my music, I didn't care that my job wasn't like, I wasn't on a career track to become like, you know, the CEO because I still wanted my music to go. So
yeah,
that's why
that
I never.
Makes a lot of sense.
That's why I took more pride in my work. Where everybody else is like, I don't want to do this stupid menial crap. Back then, most of the people that worked there when I first started didn't have college degrees, and I told Vanguard I had a Bachelor of Science, which is a Bachelor's in Music, but it was Bachelor of Science.
Yeah.
So just the fact that I had a bachelor's degree in music, you know, got me a job there.
And you know, I guess 2019. We're playing at Valley Beach, and I got a neighbor across the street from me. He's there in the crowd. He comes up and he goes, hey, is that trumpet player Tony DeSantis? And I said, yeah. And he goes, he worked for me at Vanguard. It was Tony's boss.
He was one of the nicest people I ever met at my job.
Did you hear
that's
that, Joe?
Right.
He was always like, nice and funny. He wasn't into the whole corporate, you know, Tony, what are you doing? Like, he was always extremely nice, always.
Nice. Tony, what are you doing?
Stop playing Space Invaders.
Yeah, did you ever get confused and prepare for the wrong job? Like, you went to the data entry and you're just like, and then you go to the gig later that night with like a calculator.
Tony's like, ha.
That's because you did it. You did it, didn't you?
No, but I played a couple jobs where with Chico's Vibe where people came up and said, Tony. And I'm like, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, remember me? I'm like, and I always say, oh yeah, did you work at Vanguard? And every single time it was somebody from Vanguard. I'm like, yeah, yeah, how did you know? I'm like, that's the only place I worked at my whole life.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And but they have to tell me their name, and I pull the old, oh yeah, what department were you in? I'm like, oh yeah, okay. But I've had that a few times.
One time the Holy Orchestra played the Vanguard Partnership Picnic, and it was probably when you were still there, maybe. We played the Partnership Picnic, and for people who don't know Vanguard Partnership, sort of like a share value, you know, depending on how Vanguard does in the year, they'll say, okay, Partnership went from $20 last year to $24, and everybody's bonus is based on that. So they were making an announcement in the band. We didn't have any idea what Partnership was.
No.
And they went to Hoey and said, they said, okay, the president's going to make an announcement. As soon as he's done, you guys play a song, have it ready. And Hoey picked Spinning Wheel. And so the president of Vanguard gets up and goes, you know, gives this long speech. And at the end, he goes, Partnership was 24 last year. It went up 28 this year. And everybody starts cheering. And the song starts. And and Dennis goes, what goes up must come down.
And they're going, no, stop.
The president's, make them stop.
You know, our offices are in Malvern, and every June when we got the Partnership, all the car dealerships couldn't wait because every time we got our bonus checks, everybody went out and bought a car. Yeah.
But let's get back to your, like, so you had the Vanguard job, but then you started playing with bands and with gigs. I mean, like, what was your start, and how'd you latch in? And we would need to get you to the point, like, how did you cross paths with Chico's vibe? Like, who led you there? Do you remember your first gig?
By going to University Arts, I immediately got gigs when I was in school because that was the biggest connection. Back in the early 80s, when I went to school there, that was the hotbed for jazz. It was ahead of Temple in Westchester, where I can honestly say now Temple is really now the hotbed of the jazz. But when I was in school there, that was like the place to go for jazz. So once I got to school there, I started getting gigs. And my first real wedding band gig I had was, I don't know if you knew a guy named Marty Portnoy.
No, it doesn't sound familiar.
He was a society band. We used to play all these gigs at the Bellevue. Like back in the day, they had these big balls, like 800 people for like.
They still have them today. There's still big balls today.
I think they call them galas now. Yeah.
Galas, yeah.
So go ahead.
You were playing at the balls.
Dude, I remember one time I played for the J.I. Institute. It was called the Eyeball, and the whole night we were just making jokes. Once you get in the circuit of Philly, your name gets around, and then I end up playing up, like, I've ended up at least playing almost every band in the area for a sub or whatever.
Okay. Right.
But as far as Chico's band, I mean, I lived in Havertown, so we all know about Chico's vibe.
That's true.
And then once Mac Gallagher and Rose were in the band, they went to the same school as me, even though it was years later.
Yeah.
Right. You know, everybody knew. Whatever band Matt was in, Gallagher, because he was the top guy in town, and we're like, oh, that's the gig to have, you know?
I think the first time you played with us, if I'm not mistaken, was Anthony's.
No, actually, the first time was Rose Tree.
Yeah,
Rose. You know, so Dennis has to remember this, because
I
get to the gig, it's me and Mike DeRose, and Mike DeRose, who used to kid all the time, he said, hey, we're going to get ready to dance? I'm like, what? We're going to dance. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like 5 minutes before we started. And so, of course, I didn't dance because I had, like, I don't have no idea what moves are going to make, right? So I went up because Chico said, and introduced me. I don't know if you remember. She said, this is Tony DeSantis. He just moved in from Italy a month ago.
Yes. From Rome. Italy.
And the best part was, I used to play Rose Tree every year, at least with one or two bands. So people go all the time. And like there was about 10 or 20 people that knew me, right? And they announced my name. As soon as the gig was done, I had like 50 texts like, what the hell were they talking about? You just came from Italy. In fact, one lady came up, answered the gig because I was talking, and Dennis said on the microphone, he just came from Italy. He doesn't really speak English too much. And I'm talking to someone. I'm talking to someone, this old lady comes up to me. The first gig I did with you guys, I got on probation. She goes, I thought you couldn't speak English. She was yelling at me.
It would have been the best if she started speaking Italian.
Yeah, that would have been. Yeah. But that was our very first gig at Rose Tree. Gallagher couldn't do it.
But as far as knowing the band, I mean, everybody knew about Chico's Vibe. And now when I tell people I play Chico's Vibe, oh, you play with Chico's Vibe, you know Chico, sure. Tell Chico I haven't seen him in like 10 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tell him stop it.
Wouldn't it be funny if you were in the band and you didn't know him?
You know Chico's Vibe, you know Chico?
No.
Who's that?
No, who's that guy? It's a guy on the end. I'm always on the end. I don't know. I show up, play, and go home.
I do my thing. I stay in my lane, you know.
I just read the ink. Yes. I just play the ink.
Speaking of Chico's Vibe, you've played with some serious jazz people too, right? Over the course of your career, right?
Yeah, well, fortunately, what happens is I played with this band called Joe Sutler's Swing Machine. We would hire people like John Faddis, Phil Wood, ooh, Clark Terry, J.J. Johnson.
Get out of here. You play with J.J. Johnson? And wow.
We would hire them and pay them a fee, and we had to sell tickets.
Wow.
And the funny thing was, this is back in the 80s and 90s, and Joe Sutler was just this Barry sax player who never graduated from school, and he started a rehearsal band. And at the time, there was all these big bands in town, like Phil Giordano, who was like the big name in town.
That name. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, Joe, we played the Chestnut Cabaret, and we have all these guest soloists. And, of course, everybody came to the concerts. And, of course, that gave me a bigger recognition, you know, with the jazz people. And the band just took off. Like, it was – and Phil Giordano was like, calling me. He's like, how do you guys get so many people to come to their concert? I'm like, I have no idea. And the band just took off, and Joe Sutler then started his own wedding band too, which I played in. He started from nothing and was doing like 50, 60 gigs a year. That was one of the best things, was to get to play with that band, because I just met all these like incredible people. But you know, we had to pay them, but we got to be on stage with.
Right.
So then eventually you became Nick Corvino. Bat signal went up. You became Nick's. I mean, you started to play with us a lot.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think Debbie and Ed know. I think I sent them both an email. I said, if there's an opening, you know, I'd be interested. And, you know, if not, I want to continue to sell. But I did solicit for the job.
I didn't even know that.
Job.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Also, Ed Jackabowski was playing trumpet, and I don't know if you guys know, Ed's one of my best friends.
Yeah.
But it's not only my friend, but like we play together a lot, and so we have a like incredible mutual respect for each other as trumpet players. I mean, Ed plays first, I play second. And like, I know what my job is, and his job is to play first, and I never be like, hey, you know, let me play first or whatever. Like it works out perfectly, because I know exactly, I play with him so much, I know exactly what he wants me to do as a second player.
Yeah, I finally like the trumpet section, so I can say that.
You know, back in the day, like Nick and Ed would split it up, and that.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And so, you know, that makes a big difference, because, you know, like we it's kind of like my job is to play second and to support Ed, and that's all I worry about. And I've known Ed for a long time, and I knew him before he got his doctorate. And I seen him like just progress to like, he's one of the top guys in town that can play jazz and classical.
Right. Yeah, that's cool.
You know, like it's him, Matt Gallagher, the top two guys that can do that in town.
Right.
Oh, really? Okay, cool. So,
And so like I have the most respect for Ed is just as a friend and a trumpet player. So that's why there's never, just like when I used to play in a band with John Swanna.
Sure.
Who's like one of the top guys in town jazz-wise. You know, we played together, and there was never a competition between me and John, because, well, first of all, I always thought he was better, but we just got along and learned from each other.
You know? Right, right. You know, when you were at Vanguard, you were like kind of the grunt guy, and you've come into Chico's Vibe, and you're kind of the grunt guy.
So. You know what? It's actually, you know what's funny is I like that, because my personality, I like to be told what to do. Like when I want to, I do. When I work, I wasn't into like doing projects where I had to be the lead on a project. Like
right.
I wanted to be, the helper guy. I like to be the trumpet helper guy.
Right.
Cool. But that's my personality. Like, I don't need to be the supervisor or the boss. I like to be the supportive person because I don't know, it's just my personality.
Yeah. No, that's great.
We're thinking about putting you and Dr. Ed on wires, and you actually go in, you break into flight because of how in tune you are with each other. Just this, you take off like these Valkyries.
We're flying monkeys. Whatever.
And just so you know, the harness and all the wires, we will go towards the lowest bidder. So you'll be safe.
Just keep Ed ahead of Tony a little bit. Tony wants to be the grunt, the support plane.
That'll get us to transition. So Tony, we're going to do two recurring segments that we do on the Vibecast. Well, this is only the second time we've done it. I call it Chico's Vibe, the Netflix series. And the premise is we're going to have a series on Netflix. Ed and I have been talking about it for years, where each episode of the series is a gig, like a memorable gig that we've done. That'll be how the series progresses, but there'll also be an arc for the year, for the season. And that arc for the first season is the serial killing of wedding photographers and how that plays out. But anyway, that's not what we're going to talk about today. The episode that this is going to be is a memorable gig that I'm calling the Winter Storm Dog Poop Gig. And we're talking about that because you were a sub on this gig, and I think you remember it well, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Yes.
It was a snowy day.
Yes.
I never forget because my biggest concern was we had like a 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock start.
Yes.
And I'm checking GPS from 10 o'clock on, how long will it take to get to Center City?
Yeah, it was like, on a Friday night.
Yes, Friday night. That's a critical part of the story. It was Friday night, 6 o'clock in Center City.
Starts to snow, like 1 o'clock or whatever it was, and my GPS is like an hour and a half,
two hours.
Yeah, it kept growing.
So I left my house at like, I don't know, 2:30, and of course, by the time I got on the Rouge, and I know every shortcut to Philly, and it was like, oh my God.
And that was the thing of it. To interrupt you for a second, it was 4 years ago. It was December. Good thing is, could look all this stuff up. It was December 15th, 2017. And one advantage for us was Ardmore guitar legend Chris McCord.
His wife.
Yeah.
It was Cindy's son's wedding.
Right. They're good friends of ours.
Yeah. Yes. But Tony, I think Geb, maybe you and George and maybe Yaddish had got there early enough.
I got there early because I left early.
Okay.
Yeah, we were there.
Chris Farr was on the gig
for Ed.
Ed, we're going to need you to be an independent. You're going to have to represent the audience and ask questions. So the challenge for the rest of us, like you were saying, Tony, we were all on the road, couldn't get there.
Right.
And it was just nuts.
Streets were just not only backed up, just not even moving.
And I'm in my car checking GPS every 2 minutes. I have Google Maps and Waze at the same time, trying to figure out which was the best.
There was no other way to take, because I was turning here, turning there, you know, like you're saying, you know, every shortcut in Philly. And anywhere you turned, you were just same deal.
Yeah, and I had the problem with Waze. It would try to find a route, and it would send me on a road that didn't have traffic, but it wasn't passable. Yes.
Yeah.
So I think I got there at 6 o'clock start. I think I got there at 6:30, and I was freaked out by the time I got there.
Well,
but I still wasn't. I wasn't the last person there.
No, a lot of the guests were late.
Okay.
To getting there, so they kind of pushed the time back a little. I think they pushed it back like 15 minutes.
Okay.
So it was like 6:15, because he was nowhere near the place.
Right.
John is pointing at Dennis at this moment. independent audience.
That's right. And we had to start, and I'm like trying to find lyrics and this and that. It was a complete mess.
And then, but the person who had the worst experience getting there turned out to be Dennis. I think you could probably tell a story, but as I remember you telling it, your windshield kept getting like,
I try to pull over and get all the ice and snow off of the blade, the wipers.
Were you like in West Philly when this
was? Well, no, I was turning, and I ended up being on, I guess that's Spruce Street. Yeah. Like, I'm over there somewhere, you know, and it's not moving at all. And I can't see out the frickin' windshield. It's just like two, like, bars of ice going back and forth. So I pull over to get the windshield, to pull over to try to clean them off. And there's snow all over the place now. And I stepped on a drainage grate in the road, you know, right near the curb. Slip, wiped out, boom, I go down. I fall into this, like, black muck shit, whatever the hell it was. Tear my pants all the way down like this. I got black shit all over them that smells like dog shit.
Because it was.
It might have been like all dog shit running down the curb into the
dog
drain.
Shit, bro, is where he was right there.
Now I'm like, I get back in the car. I'm pissed off.
This is like Snoopy snow cone machine.
Everything's going wrong. You know, I can't get to the gig. My pants are ripped. I smell like shit. I'm still like, I don't know how many blocks away. Finally, I get down. I pull into the parking lot, and I'm like, I get out. I'm like, oh man, look at this! I go walking down,
and we had just announced the bride and groom, and here comes Dennis. No, I had to go.
You
had to go line them up.
I'm walking in.
All the flies.
I walk in. My pants are ripped all over the freaking place. And I'm like asking you guys, like, any of you guys got like spray or something?
What you could say pants. Any of you guys got pants?
I went back and asked Thomas. I said, dude, do you have, is there like a shower in here? Like, you know, the waiters or waitresses take showers. Sorry, mate, no showers in here.
Didn't somebody give you like Tide stain remover?
The female like wedding coordinator or whatever.
Had to work with. She smelled.
She comes up, she says, you really smell like dog shit. I'm going, I know. What the hell am I gonna do? And there's nowhere I can get washed. She says, oh man. Because wait, I have some Febreze or something. And she comes out and starts spraying it all over my pants, all over the place. I'm spraying it. And that just made it worse. I go back. I'm in the middle of all you guys now playing a gig.
And so the smell would just kind of...
It would permeate.
Yes.
And it was like, it would always be like when I'm singing and I'm trying to take a breath and I'm like, you know, unforgettable.
Shit.
That's what you...
And I had to go up and line up the bride and groom. And I got to go all the way up, you know, like the third. I walk in the room and I'm like... Please, thank God it was McCord and Cindy.
Yes,
you know, people
they were
we knew,
so nice about
good
it.
Good friends of ours. Because I walk in and I right away, I look at the bride. I said, please forgive me, forgive me. I fell. I ripped my pants.
Nobody could have handled it better.
Crack all over me.
He cleaned it up. I fell in dog feces.
I'm sorry about that.
Fell in a
she
pile
goes,
of feces.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Let's just have a good time and this and that and the other thing. And I'm smelling myself. And I'm like, these people must. So, I couldn't wait to get out of that room because it's a small room up there.
They're all like, no, it's all fun. We're good.
It was a large bridal party.
That's where they got the Johnny on the spot and they just cut a little square out. You sang into that the whole night.
But then luckily I come back down and we do the introductions and all. And Gabe says, Dan, I got a pair of jeans in my car.
I did. Yeah. I came right from work. But here my jeans were like a light, wash.
Yes!
Better than wearing what I had on.
Black shoes and these whitewashed jeans.
Yeah.
With a black jacket on. Oh, my God. It was classic.
Yeah, but the funny thing was is,
I forgot Tony's still here.
when Dennis showed up, it took 5 or 10 minutes for the smell to get to our side. And meanwhile, Dennis shows up, and Chris Farr's like, "What the fuck is that smell?" And then Brian Farr smelled it, yeah. and then all of a sudden I smelled it. And then I look over at Debbie. Debbie was gagging.
Oh my God, it was so bad.
Oh, I feel so bad I missed this one.
Lord Almighty,
I was lucky.
But it took a few minutes for it to permeate the whole band, and by the time it did, we're like, what the hell?
You had a mixture of shit and Febreze. And I think Yaddish was behind me. Because he kept saying, "Dennis, that's making it worse. Let's spray that."
Yes, he was behind me.
You should have got the blue stuff from Woody's RV.
Yeah, I should have got the blue stuff.
But the good news is, once you got in the jeans, it turned into a really...
Yeah.
Fun gig, because people all got there. They got relaxed. Right. They were grateful to be there. But so it was a happy ending, but it was just a
rough beginning.
Yes. But yeah, so I thought that was a good, I could make a good episode.
Yeah. Well, that was, and Tony was on that gig as a sub.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
That's funny.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's the Chico's Vibe, the Netflix series, episode 2.
All right.
So wait, number 2, I get it.
Oh, wait, put that together. So
hey, you know.
Hey everybody, producer Matt hopping in real quick to let you know about a few shows that Chico's Vibe is playing in the coming weeks. First, January 8th, they're playing at Harbor Village in Mullica Hills, New Jersey. They're playing from noon to 4. On January 22nd, they're playing at Renault Winery in Egg Harbor City, New Jersey from 12 to 4. And on February 12th, they are back at Harbor Village in Mullica Hills, New Jersey, again playing from noon until 4. Go check out Chico's Vibe at some of those shows. And now, back to the podcast.
All right, so our last podcast we picked for as our song from the set list, Love Train, which partially explains the presence of Tony on the podcast.
So a
little background on the song Love Train. It's a classic song from the classic era of the Sound of Philadelphia and Philadelphia International Records. Love Train was written by Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff, who wrote and produced so many great songs. It was recorded by the OJs. It reached number one on the Billboard charts in March 1973. It was recorded at Sigma Sound Studios in Philadelphia that was located at 212 North 12th Street. It closed in 2014. But we played there, right?
Yeah, we recorded one of Larry's tunes.
Yeah. So we have something in common with the Philly sound. It was on the OJs album called Backstabbers, which was the only other hit from the album. The song was number 32 for the year 1973 of the Billboard Hot 100 for the year. Gamble and Huff also had number 15 for the year 1973, and that was Me and Mrs. Jones by Billy Paul. That was also 1973. 1973 was an odd year for popular music, I think, based on the top... Well, I wrote down the top 6 songs for 1973. Number 1... was Tie a Yellow Ribbon.
Wow. Tony Orlando. Holy crap.
Number 2 is an Ed Mount classic.
Bad, bad Leroy Brown.
That's right. Yes. Number 3 was Killing Me Softly by Roberta Flack. Number 4, Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye. And number 5 is a Gebbie classic, My Love by Paul McCartney and Wings. Number 6... I went and listened to it because I'd never heard it. It's called Why Me by Kris Kristofferson.
Why Me?
Why Me, Lord?
That's
what
it.
Have I ever done to deserve even one?
I listened to the whole song. I can't believe it was a huge hit.
Wow. I loved Kris Kristofferson stuff, but my mom actually loved that song. Bought the 45, let me learn it.
Nice. But Love Train, great song, great message.
God help me, Jesus. I'm wasted.
Thing. Love Train is not, it's not a legacy Hoey song. I think it's a Chico's Vibe song.
No, it's Chico's Vibe.
Yes. Yeah. I remember joining the band and never having played it before.
Yeah. Right.
And of course, the thing that goes with Love Train now is the horns go out into the audience and form a Love Train. And that has turned into lots of crazy, crazy moments. Now, I
like how you broken, just, broken yeah. legs.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. yeah.
I'm trying to roast tree. I feel like, and I could be wrong, that the first time we went out into the audience, it was Tim and Gia's wedding, the judge and Dr. Gia. I feel like that was the first time
Possibly.
We did it. Of course, I don't remember the date of that wedding, but I think it was more early.
Oh, it was early.
It was early, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just like we were being goofy, and there was a crowd we could be goofy with and went
right,
out.
Right, right, right.
But from there, we pretty much... Other than some COVID moments or some crowds that Ed and I don't like, excuse me, and those are contested moments where Ed are like, we're not going, and Dennis is like, get out there! What are you doing?
Like I know like the kind of crowd you're talking about.
Where
you know,
feel like you're going to get injured?
Don't go out.
Yes. Yeah. yeah.
You like know. you're gonna lose a tooth kind of crowd.
Matt Gallagher loved the Love Train. Loved the Love
he
Train.
He pulled me aside. He points to his lip. He goes, "You know what this is? It's my career. Some jackass almost hit me. It's my career, Ed." It's like, all right, Matt, have a good one.
But we've had some mystery moments. Somebody at Rose Tree broke their ankle.
2 years in a row.
Yeah. 2 years in a row. Wow. I think it was a Love Train where D-Val jumped into the pool.
With the MMR. That was the O'Neill building.
O'Neill Properties.
O'Neill Properties. The new place over in Valley Forge.
With the trumpet.
Yes.
Yes. He went into the pool. Yep. That was with MMR. That's when we met.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
Casey and Nick.
And I got a t-shirt from that gig that had a weird thing that said, "Ask about the canoe." On the back of it, I forget there was canoe rides at because it went right against
on a Schuylkill.
Still have it?
Yeah, so I had the shirt
right next to the
and I would wear it. I was in Home Depot and people were like, "All right, what's with the canoe?" And I would forget it was on the shirt, and I'd just be like, "What? Your shirt says ask about the canoe." I have no idea. It's my Home Depot shirt, you know.
But before we get more into the train, you guys, so Ed and I are paying attention to the train for a significant portion of the song. You guys sing and play the song, and I think from the way you do it that you guys really like the song. Is that correct? I'm still, maybe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I like it because there's so much excitement going on.
Right.
With you guys going out there.
Okay.
If we didn't have that thing, that shtick.
You know, I figured you in particular just take the message to heart. People all over the world, join hands. Start a Love Train.
Yeah, people all over the world, join hands. Yeah.
Coming
out of my heart. Yeah.
And that's where it was the fist fight at the big club.
Oh,
that's
right.
Those people around the world.
Join hands. Yeah. Oh, his foot's on my head.
Yeah. You know, it's a good arrangement. Too.
It is. Yeah. It's a Giroux's
arrangement. So, like,
yeah, the harmonies and the horns are
to walk in, especially like if we go out into a real echoey lobby or something where it's marble. It sounds like we're an isolated horn track for that, like, four bars while we're outside, and you could just hear all the harmonies, and yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And Tony is the highlight.
Yeah,
that
gets us into the Love Train strategy, which there has, over the years, there's definitely.
Don't you understand? Don't you understand the concept?
So Ed, a trumpet player cannot lead the Love Train, and a trumpet player cannot. Be the caboose of the Love Train, right? Because it just doesn't
hold up. Yeah. And I'm not sure why. You know, but I'm doing my best, and I think there's 100 people behind me. And I turn, and it's Parky and 50 feet away from him is somebody else.
No, do you know what happens, Ed?
What happens?
I got my eye on it the whole time. And you'll have 100 people behind you to start.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll get like some schmuck
in the crowd. I see it all the time too. They veer off.
Veer off. And go, you know, his way, and then everybody follows him. And you got like
right.
you four and two people following you.
Right.
So, but then I think
and I keep saying, no, follow the horns.
That does
follow
happen.
The horns.
But then there's we'll let Tony have his piece. There's also the Tony problem, which we would go out and start to form the love train, and Tony would see like a very pretty woman, and be and.
Wait, you figured that one out?
Yes, I completely stopped the train and try to get her in front of him.
I didn't know. Yeah, and exactly.
So then Ed and I keep going, and Tony's just standing there. I'm like, why don't you get in front of me? And you can do.
And John said, Parks is behind me. Don't stop! I'm like, well, people are trying to butt in the train. I didn't realize that you didn't want anybody to come
do
in.
That. They can't do that.
And that was the disconnect. He didn't understand the concept.
The train keeps it rolling. That's what.
And you got to understand. Well, before I joined the band, I saw you guys do the love train before. But I used to play in this wedding band that we would go out on the floor for a Jewish wedding, and we would entertain the bride and groom and walk around a circle. But and when we did that, the people would follow us, and we were allowed to let the people come in between the horns. So I just thought, that's what they wanted. And I,
it's a cultural thing.
As I got older, anybody that was good looking, I was always wanted them to like get in front of me. I was just like, I didn't realize. I thought that was okay. So
it was like
yelled at me and told me not to do that.
You could stop for half a second and try to get the girl, but you can't hold the whole gosh damn line up.
It was like he got caught.
Let's calm down now.
It's great.
And even I don't. I think you guys realize that while we're on the floor, there's always people, women trying to jump in or anybody jumping in between us.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me while I'm playing to like explain to them, don't bother me, get behind me, you know. I don't want to be ignorant and be like, no.
It was at the end of a gig, and it was like you got called into the principal's office. It was the funniest thing.
Yeah.
Chico just went, DeSantis.
No, what I did was I did break the rule, but I know what the rule was. I would try to start a second love train because that's what happened. It was more like I thought, well, if we had two love trains, it'd be even better. I didn't realize.
Oh, I had a mad flashback
because Dennis was right in his face. Do you not understand the concept of the love train? And you looked at him like, blink, blink.
No, that wasn't blink. The best part. Dennis is yelling at me, and Gebby and Ed Mount are just with their eyes just watching it, and they were speechless. Their mouth was like wide open. And then next week I showed up, and Gebby said, I'm surprised you showed up.
I couldn't believe it. I'm like, is this actually happening?
That was the best. I'm surprised.
That
sure
love train got this. So messed up. I'm watching it and I'm just getting mad. I'm like,
so that's where probation came from.
Yes.
It was like on probation.
In my head, I'm like, we're grown men. We're grown men here. What is going on?
I tried to start a second love train. I totally broke the rule, but I didn't realize that
And you always want to, you just were telling us earlier how you always want to be in support. You don't want to be the main guy
on the love train.
Exactly. You know? And you're
if this,
right.
If this were Septum,
renegade love train,
it would be derailed. We would be involved in a derailment lawsuit.
We've had some great trains over the years, particularly at outdoor events, parks.
Yes.
Just get kids going across the stage.
Yeah.
Long trains. It's a fun.
Yeah, but I'll say this: you guys on stage don't realize whenever we do it, everybody in the audience loves it. Yeah. Everybody always likes it. Like they're really impressed, or they're like, "Wow, this is cool." Nobody's ever gotten mad at it.
Let's face it; it's like the dumbest thing. You know, it's like, you know, Kunga line. But
so then, instead of to get back into Dennis's good graces because of probation, every time I have a love train, I steal something for him and give it to him.
I'm always wondering, like, he always comes up either with a comb or like.
That's right. He goes.
One time he gave me like a sewing kit, and I'm like,
"Well, those
he
takes like, in the bathroom,
stopping into the bathroom during a love train."
They're in the basket in the men's room. Yeah, little thing of Listerine.
That means he has to make a detour.
He hands you a chandelier at Springfield.
All right, that's our song from the set list. So, what we do is pick next month's song, and I believe Matt. You get the, Matt gets a pick.
Yeah,
of course he gets a pick.
Dance to the music.
That'll be next month's song from the set list. Good choice.
It's between that and Why Me by Christmas.
What about anything by Tiffany?
Oh, all right, that's it. I'm out of here.
You just witnessed Tony go back into probation.
Yeah, so our last segment we do on every episode is we talk about like a song that we've maybe heard recently or a song that's come to mind recently that you would like to do in Chico's Vibe. You kind of know we never will. It might be a personal favorite. Might be something you heard that is appealing. What song is on your mind that you would be nice to do? So I'll start with Dennis.
I'm going to pick And This Bird Can Sing.
Wow. Mm. I didn't see that coming.
I've been listening to it all week. I heard it. It's blowing my mind listening to that.
Really cool. Yeah, really cool guitar stuff.
McCartney and, I mean, Lennon wrote it, sings it, but you got that awesome, like, double guitar thing from McCartney and Harrison.
Yes. Good choice. Geb?
I'm going to go out and say Alone Again, Naturally.
You're kidding, right? It's a joke.
I'm serious.
No, nah, you're joking.
Why would I be joking?
Well, I love that song.
I like that song.
That's exactly why I like it.
Like, wait a minute, we did that before.
Wait, did we talk about that before?
Yes, I think you said it was the first episode.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay. That just popped in my head.
Do you want to stick with that, or was that you?
Yeah, I'm sticking with that.
All right. Ed Mount, what do you got?
You know, I always like Something Happened on the Way to Heaven, Phil Collins.
That's great. Horn intro.
Yeah.
You know, so there.
Do you want to change your pick, Gab?
I'm so happy. Yeah, you know what?
Happy.
Yeah.
I like Phil Collins, too.
Oh, thanks, Kevin.
You're going to pick the same tune?
Thanks.
No, I'm trying to think of the name, the one I always liked.
We bullied him into change.
Two hearts beating just it was his, it was his solo album. I think it was called West Side. It's a musical number. There's no lyrics.
Oh, I don't know it.
Yeah. I think it's called West Side. I think that's the name of it.
Big T, what you got?
I'm going to say a medley of.
Oh, yes!
A medley of Herb Alpert.
Herb Alpert.
Me and Dr. Ed were talking about, like, during the
dinner.
Salad.
In between every song of every Chico's Vibe gig.
No, we could do, like, a medley. Like there's always, like, two-part harmony on his stuff.
All his stuff, yeah. True.
Yes.
What's the one that goes, dun, 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 dun? Dun, dun, dun. That's
he does it.
What is that song? Yeah.
A Taste of Honey.
A Taste of Honey is another one, yeah.
Yeah, Taste of Honey. Yes.
With Tony, what's the one that starts? Wait,
Taste the Honey.
Tony, what's the one that starts?
That's Al Hurd.
That's Java. Al Hurd.
Oh, okay. Sorry, wrong guy.
I know we're like doing Herb Alpert requests from Tony. I'm like, play the Lonely Bull.
The Lonely Bull.
I love because he's probably just flea, he's on the toilet, you know, with the trumpet because that's where the best echoes are.
Tijuana Taxi.
That's the one he started with.
Oh, he started with that.
Yeah.
Let's face it. Howie started the comeback of Herb Alpert.
The East Coast comeback.
East Coast comeback.
All right, I'm throwing in one song. It has nothing to do with Herb Alpert. The song, only because I heard it the other day. Reminiscing by
Little River Band.
That could be a nice Tony trumpet solo.
Reminiscing.
Friday night, it was late. It was Little River Band.
I've always wanted to do that song.
Yeah. And it's got a nice little, I think it's probably a flugel solo at the end.
At the end, yeah.
Yeah.
Go. Tony, you might have gotten yourself another podcast guest.
Yes.
Uh oh.
It's Tony from the toilet.
me, Dr. Jacobs. Me, Dr. Jacobs, for a duet.
I'm telling you,
that's a spinoff podcast.
Tony from the toilet. It's not what you think, folks. It's the acoustics. And every now and then, you just hear a little fur. That was a valve.
They used to do it in the old days. Some studios, you put the amp in the bathroom.
It's sort of like behind two ferns. Well, join me in the toilet.
Pet Sounds was recorded in the John. I'm telling you. Some of the greatest albums were recorded in the John.
Oh, man. But anyway, that gets us through the podcast materials. Thank you, Tony DeSantis, our special guest.
Yeah, Tony.
Thank you.
Say goodbye to 2021. And
10, 9, 8, 7, 6,
his balls are 5, dropping.
4, 3, the balls are 2, 1.
Tony.
Play silly love song.
Shut up.
20 minutes overtime.
But so Tony, you know when? I'm sorry.
Hello.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you out shopping or something?
He's very excited to be on the show, folks. Very excited. Huh? Yeah.